Thanks again for joining me. Thank you so much for joining me on this day and in this time. You know, I think of myself as a pretty even-tempered guy, at least most of the time. I'm a pretty even-tempered guy, but I have noticed in these unprecedented times, I've noticed some unusual, for me, unusual behaviors. I've noticed there's times when I feel like I'm on edge. I feel like I'm... Sometimes I feel like I'm tired. I feel just kind of worn out. I've found myself that sometimes I'm just lacking motivation. And I've had times where I became very quickly frustrated. I've even had times where I felt down. I mean, down to the point of some would say I was feeling kind of depressed. I've experienced all this. How about you? How are you feeling? How are you feeling now? I mean, during these unprecedented times that we are in, how are you feeling? Some have experienced physical illness. Some have experienced physical loss. Some of you have been on the front lines. You're in healthcare or in helping professions where you've been in with people and you're out in places where you're actually in an elevated risk factor in what you're doing and because of your workplace and because of what you do, and that adds to the stress level. Maybe in the place that you work, you're in front of or have a lot of people from all over the place. And that elevates your concern for yourself and possibly even concern for others because you don't want to be a carrier. No matter your circumstances, no matter what your circumstances are right now, everyone has endured an abrupt change. I think it was 8 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, I'm not even sure now at this point, but we all had an abrupt change. And those abrupt changes are stressful. They add to our element of stress. And when you have an abrupt change such as the one we're in the midst of, when you have a pandemic in this, that multiplies the stress level huge. And it causes every one of our emotions to be more sensitive, to be easily volatile. This is the reason that my messages have been focusing on how to anchor ourselves in the hope that we have available to us, a hope that will sustain us. And better still, it will give you an opportunity to thrive even in the midst of storms. Now, while we're in the midst of physical changes, whether it be the virus or being furloughed or maybe you're laid off or maybe you're just home from work or working from home and maybe also schooling from home and doing other things. Maybe you're doing schoolwork from home and that can be that. It's just all such a different experience where when we are right now, when we're in a place where all of a sudden our freedoms are restricted because we're practicing this social distancing thing. I mean, this is a great way to hug, but it really, it just isn't the same, right? I mean, it just doesn't work. We're all under significant physical changes right now. Every one of us, and every one of those impact us emotionally. Every disruption in your life is an emotional impact. Each change, with all of its side effects, can be traumatic. The collective impact of all of those can be overwhelming, meaning our stress levels are elevated. Right now, our stress levels are elevated. And the reality is, even after there is a vaccine for this disease, the economic and relational and emotional impact will be with us for some time. Doctors and scientists obviously are working on a vaccine. Pastors and counselors have been working and are working to help people cope with the emotional impact, the spiritual impact that this has on us. The good news is you don't have to wait till there's a physical vaccine to improve your emotional and spiritual health. You can do it right now. Because since I began sharing all of these messages that have been focusing on the whole idea of being emotionally and spiritually prepared and to be healthy, that's what this has been about so many of these weeks. Previous messages are all available. They're on the website. You can go and you can watch them. If you want to go back and look at those, certainly do that. If you haven't looked at them, maybe flip back. look at the title that maybe catches your eye and say, oh, I need to, that would be helpful for me right now. Right? The message notes, I encourage you to take those and use those as a catalyst to each and every day. It'll bring more comfort. It'll give you daily courage. So I encourage you to keep doing it. And again, thank you for being here, right? Because you're here with me now. And that's so important. So important. Today what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some very, very practical steps that are really spiritual steps. Although you may say, really? But I'm going to tie them in. I'm going to show you how it is so spiritually connected. But these are very practical steps that lead to emotional and physical and spiritual health. So, I'm going to jump around a little bit with Scripture, but if you have your Bible, you might want to open it up to James, because that's the foundation of where all of these are found. Now, James is kind of a neat letter. It's one of the first ones that I really remember digging in and reading and starting to dissect, and I still love getting into James. James is what I like. I also like it. It's short. It's 5 chapters. It's 108 verses. Not that I counted, but it's very short, right? It's not long. James is just jam-packed with wisdom for people going through a crisis. James is a great book to read, a great opportunity to look. Some of the topics that James looks at, some of them are almost like verse by verse. It's like, oh, there's one right there, there's one right there. And then others are kind of overarching, or he weaves through the various chapters that are in there. Now, James, let me tell you about James a little bit, because you should probably know this. James was the brother of Jesus, who, by the way, was not a follower of Jesus until after the resurrection. When James grasped the reality and came to the realization of Jesus' deity, he committed his life not only to learning all that Jesus could teach him about life and living life well, but he also became a very courageous leader of the first Christians. James' life was completely turned around when he really met and learned and followed Jesus. James gives us such just practical principles for coping with stress. Now, when we talk about stress a little bit, I want to just remind us, keep in mind that not everyone's stress level is the same, right? Everybody has a different level and a different way of responding to stress. So we don't all respond the same way. We don't all have the same amount of stress. You know, I've been hearing people say this. I've heard this phrase several times, and it's like, people saying, oh, we're all in the same boat right now. Well, I really don't agree with that. Here's what I agree with. We're all in the same storm, but we're not all in the same boat. We're not all in the same boat. Some people are sailing along in this storm, and they're kind of like in a yacht. You know, they're doing pretty well. Some people are like in a rowboat. And they're getting along week to week, and then some people are just kind of floating along. Emotionally, economically, the burden is an emotional and enormous, taking an enormous toll. Right? So I'm just saying we're in different boats, but we are in the same storm. Which is why each one of us needs to make a wise decision and make wise decisions individually. Those with higher risk should decide wisely when it's best to be in the physical proximity of others. When we have larger gatherings, for instance, at church, now that we've been able to open up and have people in worshiping together again, it's so important that each one individually and for your family make the decision, a wise decision for you and your family, what is best. I appreciate the number of folks that have had an opportunity and have emailed me to say things like, hey, you know, we appreciate the live streaming. We're going to continue to watch that because of what's best for us. I appreciate that. A whole number of you have done that. And please feel free to let us know. It would be great to know. But at the same time, you have to make that decision. And we have to have that opportunity to simply respect each other, because some will feel like it's time for me to gather together. And that's okay too, right? We're in the same storm, but different boats. That's simple. And we all need to respect and have grace for one another. Now I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, so I'll come back to that in just a moment. Each of us came to this crisis with different amounts of emotional and spiritual reserves, right? If you have a lot of reserve coming into this, starting when this crisis started, if you had a lot of reserve, you're probably doing okay. If you came into this crisis and your tank was a little bit low, you may be running on empty by now. And if you came into this crisis and you were already drained, the stress may be overwhelming. First of all, I guess I want to just say this. I want you to know that I care about you. I care about you. Your church family cares about you. Let us know what we can do to help you, to pray for you. You know, be in touch with us. But I want you to know that first and foremost. And all of you, I want you to know that as well. Now, I'm going to give you some steps that I think no matter where you are, no matter how filled or empty your tank is, and perhaps if it's on the lower end, these may be even more important, but they're important for everybody, to refuel and to get filled up emotionally and spiritually. So I'm going to encourage you to do this. Because I've been talking about this whole idea of we have a firm and secure hope who is the anchor for our soul. That's right. That's Hebrews 6:19. Some of you are saying, yeah, I know what that is. And if you don't see, if you're in a boat and you have an anchor and you don't use it, you'll drift. And storms can destroy you. Storms can cause great havoc. So if you're watching, if you're listening right now, this is God's offer for his anchor for you. I just want you to take it and to use it, to hang on to the anchor that God has for you. The anchor is Jesus, and he will help you. That's where all of this information comes from. So let me think about your emotional and your spiritual health. Because both of those things go hand in hand. Your spiritual maturity and your emotional maturity go hand in hand. Every day we experience stress. Being in the magnitude of this crisis drains us emotionally and spiritually. And we have to tap into those spiritual reserves. You know, think about it. It's kind of like having a balloon and letting the air out of the balloon. What we're going through right now. That's why what I'm about to share with you is so critically important for your health. Now, before I give you this, I'm going to call it this list. I need to be just honest with you and say there are some of these things on this list that I am doing really well on. I would say I've pretty much got. And then there's some of these things on the list that I'm working on. That's what I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to be honest and confess that to you. I am working on those. I don't have them all down, but I know that these are so powerful. These are critical for my well-being, and I believe they are for yours. So let's start with Romans 12, verses 11 and 12. It says this, "Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying." Don't be lazy. Work hard. The Message paraphrase translation says it this way. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled. Right? Now, in order to work, whatever work means to you, because it has different definitions for different ones of us, right? It may mean being home. It might mean being home and schooling and educating from home. It might mean work might be involvement with organizations. Everyone I know who is occupationally retired, by the way. All of you have loads of work that you're involved with and things that you do. But to be able to work, no matter what you're working at, to be able to work, we have to stay fueled up, right? You have to be fueled up in order to work, in order to do it, in order to get it done, right? Because think about it. Without fuel, a car goes nowhere. Without fuel, a plane crashes. Without fuel, a boat drifts. So I'm going to give you some steps. So spiritually and emotionally, you can be anchored. You can be strengthened. You can be refueled. That's what these steps are about. You know, Romans 12 here says, what will fuel you up? What will cause you to rejoice or help you to rejoice? What will help you to be patient? What will give you hope and to be confident in? And he says what it is to keep praying and to anchor yourself to Jesus. That's what I'm encouraging and want you to do. It will help you. It'll refuel you. These steps will help you anchor to Jesus. That's who they came from. They'll give you confidence. They'll give you hope. It's a way to make it through the crisis. It's a way that you, if you use these steps, your every day will be a better day. That's what I can tell you. So I encourage you. I encourage you to take notes, maybe in your Bible and on the message notes. Maybe you have another pad. Maybe you have a journal. Download those message notes. Use them. We can email them to you if you'd like. You can be right on our email list. We can do that for you. But these steps will make a significant difference in your life every single day. So here we go. Here we go. Let's jump into these. The first one is demonstrate grace. Demonstrate grace. James 4:6 says this, "And he, God, he gives grace generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble." Demonstrate grace to yourself and to others. That's what this is talking about. Demonstrate grace to yourself and to others. God doesn't give me what I deserve. Because if he did, boy, I wouldn't even be here. Right? God extends grace to me. God extends grace to you. God extends incredible grace to you. He forgives you. He loves you. He cares for you. He's compassionate towards you. He has mercy for you. He loves you. If God treated me the way I deserve, I would have no chance of a relationship with God. I would just be a mess. James is one of those places where we're told that God treats us with grace, and he does so generously. To make it through a crisis, to make it through life, and to live well, treat yourself. You have to treat yourself. You have to treat others with grace, the way God treats you. With that kind of grace. So let me ask you a question. Maybe you should write out a little, you know, one of those, evaluations, you know, 1 to 10, 1 being terrible and 10 being off the chart, baby, that's awesome. How have you been treating yourself? All right, how about how have you been treating others recently? How have you been treating others? It makes reference to God opposes the prideful. And the reason is because they think they can do it all by themselves. The humble recognize their need for God. Being humble, you recognize the need for God and the need for God's grace, the need for God's mercy, God's wisdom. That's what humility helps us to recognize, that when we come before God, we seek his grace. We seek his wisdom because it helps us to live life. We ask in love for God, and he will provide, right? You may have experienced God's grace this way, and maybe you never even thought of it like this. Maybe there was a moment where you were feeling lonely, and you received a phone call. You received an email, or you received a letter. That was God working through that to extend grace to you. Being grace-filled to yourself means cutting yourself some slack and cutting others some slack as well. This crisis is hard on everyone. So many are stressed, and so many are stressed in different ways. Some are more stressed than others, but everyone is feeling stress. So as the license plate that runs around this area that we live says, be kind. Be kind. It always makes me smile when I see that. On a personal level, with all of this stress, I just want to kind of share this with you. Don't expect yourself to be able to perform at the same level that you were able to perform before this crisis began. Because these crises, in stressful times, we tend to, our emotional reserves get used up. Here's how I've experienced this, for instance. I've had a full night's sleep. Several times I've had a full night's sleep during this, and I'm up for about 2 or 3 hours doing something, and then I feel like I have to take a nap. I mean, I like naps anyways, but, right? When you're experiencing prolonged stress, if you're experiencing prolonged grief, if you're experiencing grief and loss, that's normal. That's normal. That's what I want you to know. you may be working fewer hours and you feel more fatigued. That's normal when stress levels are elevated. So here's what I would say to you. So plan a moderate amount of work. Don't expect to be able to have the same amount of energy you had before this crisis began. That is demonstrating grace to yourself. That's demonstrating grace to yourself. And be graceful to others as well. Cut them some slack as well. This is an important thing to do. So demonstrate grace. And the second thing to do is to refuel your soul. To refuel your soul in the morning and in the evening. Now, Psalm 92:2 says this, "It is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." Start and end each day refueling. Start and end each day refueling your soul. Your soul is your mind and your heart. Your soul is connected with how you think. Your soul is connected with how you choose, how you feel. Your mind and your heart together, you're more than just a body, the elements that make up our body. You're more than that. You have a soul. And just as your body needs to be nourished, needs to be refueled on a regular basis, so does your soul. So does your soul. You know, your body needs to be refueled. When you wake up in the morning, you have breakfast, right? You have breakfast. And then at noon, you eat lunch. And at dinner time, you have supper. You have dinner, right? And that keeps your body nourished. Your soul needs nourishment as well. How often are you feeding your soul? Well, first of all, you're here with me now, so this is a really good sign. You're being fed. You're being strengthened. How often are you doing it in each day throughout the week? Psalm 92 says, morning and evening, we should be doing this. Here's an interesting thing. Recent studies have been coming out, and they've been coming out for years, but it says how you begin your day and how you end your day will actually determine your attitude throughout your day. It's amazing. So I challenge you first thing in the morning and the last thing in the evening, instead of watching the news and making that the last thing, instead of checking the feed or looking at the phone or surfing the whatever stuff, I challenge you to read a psalm. I challenge you to read a proverb. I challenge you to read a chapter in Philippians or James, right? It will improve your day. It will improve your rest. Start and end your day with prayer, with some scripture. It'll improve your day. It's so important because we have to feed our souls, and we have to do it in the morning and the evening. We don't fast your souls forever, right? Jesus put it this way, and he said it in a little different way, but you may recognize these words. Jesus said, "Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word from the Word of God." The way you feed your soul is to get into God's Word every day. Here's an idea. You could take your Bible or your Bible app or whatever you use, but a physical Bible would be really great to do and really great to use. And just put it out maybe on your nightstand or somewhere close to your bed or something that you go to in the morning and the evening. And just open it up to maybe mark it. Put it, you're going to read through Psalm. You want to read some of the Psalms. Read Psalm 100. Read Psalm 150. Great Psalms. Or maybe a proverb. Anyways, open it up. Leave it there. Read that psalm. Maybe read a few verses. You don't have to read a whole thing. Just simply read until you feel like God has just spoken to me. And then in the morning, get up and do the same thing. Just take a couple minutes. It's not a lot of investment of time here. But just to do that. And then talk to God. Say, "Thank you, God. Give me the strength for today. Give me a good rest for this evening." It's that simple. James put it this way in chapter 1, verse 21. He said, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and all the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you." You have to go to the seed. You have to get the word. You have to reach out and get that planted in you, which can save you. If the word of God, Scripture, can save you, it can recharge you. It can refuel you. It can refresh you, and it will. Remember that psalm, famous one? David wrote Psalm 23 when he said, God restores my soul. There's so many places in Scripture you can find God restoring, refueling, refreshing. Psalm 119, 47. I put some of these on the message notes just as references for you. I rise before dawn and I cry out for help. I put my hope in your word, God. My hope is in your word. Isaiah 50 says, the sovereign Lord has given me his word of wisdom so that I may know how to comfort the weary, mourning by mourning. He awakens me and opens this understanding to his will. How can you get to know God's will without knowing God's word? So that's the process that we're in here. So do that. And then here's another thing. Number three is establish a simple routine. Right now, if you're schooling at home and all of the things, maybe your schedule has been totally disrupted and changed over the last couple months. Maybe you're trying to work at home and you're doing all those things. Maybe you're out of work and you're just around the house. Maybe you're doing school from home, but it's just like it's the normal schedule is just so in upheaval. Maybe you're retired and all the normal things, the routines that you have done, everything's closed down. Anyways, this crisis has disrupted all of our routines. It's time to establish some simple routines. And here's why, because predictability is an important stress reducer. When things are constantly changing and moving around, that which is predictable provides stability, and it helps refuel your emotional tank. Ephesians 5 says this, be careful, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. You know, being stuck at home, it's so easy to kind of drift away from any schedule. During this season, this crisis, who has stayed up a little bit later than you normally do during this crisis? Yeah. Who has slept in a little bit later than you normally do during this crisis? Whatever. But the reason for establishing a routine, a simple routine, it's important because routine develops resilience. Because predictability creates stability. Structure creates steadiness. I mean, this is all important for children, but it's just as important for adults. So I recommend you set up a very simple routine. Simple routine, that's all. Look at your day and a simple routine. Not a schedule for every minute of your day. Yeah, I could do that because I'm that type of person, but I'm not going to. Right? But just a simple routine. And here's another thing that I think is so important for all of us, especially right now. This is number four, monitor your media intake. Monitor your media intake. The vast majority of the news right now is negative. It is not just negative, it is so repetitive. It is so, and repetitive negativity. Who needs that? Who needs that? What good is that going to do for you to watch it or see it a lot? You know, you can watch and you can flip the channels around, or you can surf to another news site or whatever, and you see the same story over and over again. When I read the news feeds, I'm realizing that that's what I'm seeing, the same thing over and over again. It's so easy to get glued to get drawn into the internet or social media and to be surfing through that stuff. If you fill your mind with negative news, you're going to increase your stress and you're going to exhaust yourself. Jesus, I mean, he was brilliant. Well, of course, he was God. But in Matthew recorded something Jesus said that I think is so important for us to consider for this time and for all of life. Jesus said this in Matthew 6. He said, The eye is the lamp for the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. Here's the point. What you see influences what you think. What you see influences what you think. What you watch influences your attitude. It'll influence you to the point of it will lead you to who you will become, what you watch, where you spend your time. I've even heard it said, if you look to the world, you'll become distressed. If you look inside, within, you'll become depressed. But if you look to Christ, you will be at rest. So look to Christ. He's the one with the answer. He's the one that can refuel. He's the one that can refresh you and give you strength and courage. He's the one with the wisdom. So you may want to ask yourself, how often am I watching the news? Here's another question you could ask. How are you feeling after you watch the news? Are you feeling great and uplifted and joyful? Are you feeling better about yourself and about life and about everything that's going on when you're engaging social media? See, why do we spend so much time watching, listening, taking in the negative instead of taking in God's word? Something that's healthy, very healthy for us, and a light for our encouragement. And maybe you've heard this phrase, I remember from years ago, garbage in, garbage out. I think Proverbs is where it probably came from. Proverbs 15 says, a wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash. I'm just going to say it, and you know, whatever. I've watched a lot of channels. I've surfed sites. I've read a lot of posts that were trash. And maybe too many. Maybe here's what I'm thinking. Here's my suggestion. Psalm 119:47. Maybe cut that passage out and put it, tape it right across the top of your monitor or your TV. TV, I'd have to have it really big letters for me, but that's beside the point. That's why I have these. But Psalm 119:37 says this. Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. How much time does surfing or checking Facebook posts really help? How much of the time does that help? How much news is helpful? It's good to be informed, but how much news? How much time? Now that leads me right into step five, which is way more fun, by the way, and I think easier, perhaps easier to do. Well, maybe not easier to execute, but this one is really enjoyable, at least to me, and that is simply begin an enjoyable habit. Begin an enjoyable habit. You know, if your family is at home right now, begin an enjoyable habit. Maybe that's, if you're at home right now, maybe it's eating a meal together. Maybe you're all together anyways, so it's a great opportunity to eat dinner together or breakfast together or a lunch together, whatever meal of the day that you can get together. And here's the thing, when you're eating that meal together, don't just sit together and eat the meal together, but rather have a little, have some questions that you can engage each other with. Like, say, okay, we're going to go around the family table here or around the table, and I want everybody to respond and say, okay, tell me about a highlight of your day. All right, now tell me about a low point of your day. We don't get into the whole, you know, don't digest it, just go through it. Let everybody say that. And then say, tell me about something that surprised you today. It's that easy. Because what's going to happen here is you're going to develop a relationship and a greater relationship with one another. It'll positively influence each other and your relationship with each other. Your children will develop this greater wisdom for you and for your family and to connect with one another. So begin an enjoyable habit. And these could probably be endless. We can go on for all sorts of times. I'll just give you a few. You could do things like you could definitely have dinner together and ask some questions. Have some dialogue with one another. How about a game night where you do some games together? Pull out the board games or those card games and play some games together. How about reading a book together? How about riding a bike? How about riding a bike? Parents, grandparents, you know, any one or two of these things, if you start doing these with your family will actually come together. Your family will be stronger when you get through this crisis. Your marriage could be stronger when you get through this crisis if you do these kind of things. This is a terrific opportunity to start and engage an enjoyable habit that will refuel you and refuel your family. You know, so many things you could do. Maybe build a puzzle. Those can be very frustrating for me, but my family members like it. But build a puzzle. Keep track. Maybe keep track of the birds that are in your backyard or that you're seeing right in your backyard. Keep track of the birds. Play some cards. Build something together. What about that? Build something together. Do some artwork. Do something that you love to do together, but do it together. Go for a walk. Ride a bike, as I said. What good habits, enjoyable habits, could you begin right now? This is an opportunity to instill positive change. Right? And then here's number six, and I think this is my last one for today. But daily connect with people that you love. Daily connect with people you love. This is just like taking a daily vitamin, right? You should do this every day. Each day, possibly pull out your Google Calendar and write it right in there. If you may want to do that. I've actually pulled out my Google Calendar, and sometimes I'll write down the names of people that I want to connect with. I do that with my prayer list as well. But I'll sometimes write it down and I'll say, here's who I'm going to connect with today or this week. And I'll write down a list of people that I want to connect with and connect with those people, the people that I love, the people that I care about. Because when you connect with people, what happens is your emotional cup also gets filled. Theirs does, but yours does. And it's so simple to do. You can make a phone call. That's it. Just make a phone call. You can do a Zoom call or a Skype call, right? We can do it that way. Just to connect with one another. You can do things like email. Here's something that happened to us this past week that I thought was so cool. A close friend of ours did something very unique, very special. They hand wrote a letter to us that came in the mail. You know the box that's out in front of your house, that thing? Yeah. What a blessing. What a blessing to receive that. How about writing a handwritten note? In fact, this isn't a very new idea, is it? And it's very effective because 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul, he wrote a bunch of letters. In fact, Apostle Paul was not only was he quarantined, he was chained to a Roman guard, and he wrote 14 letters, and we have them. If you have a Bible, they're in your Bible. There's 14 letters that Paul wrote to encourage one another, to lift up spirits, and to talk about life together. We have those. So 1 Thessalonians 5:11. He says this, therefore encourage one another, build each other up. When you connect with people and when you build each other up, the words that you use are so powerful, and so you have such a great opportunity to build others up. A positive word of encouragement. A positive word of encouragement to build one up. You have the power to change someone's life. Maybe it's through a letter. Maybe it's through a phone call. Maybe it's through a Zoom. Simply call and listen. Listen to someone. Let them talk. Use encouraging words. You can change someone's life and the outcome of their journey. You have the power to do that. When you follow these simple steps, when you follow what God says we should do. So this week, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to give you an assignment this week. I'm going to give you an assignment to start that schedule and to build some of those things, to set in and some enjoyable habits perhaps. But here's the key thing. Here's the thing that I really want you to do. After watching that little clip, it's so powerful. I want you to do this. I want you to reach out to connect with 3 to 5 people. 3 to 5 people this week. I know a couple of you are already making your list, and you're going to connect with 3 to 5 people a day, right? Because you're just like that. And that's great. I say go. Do it. But connect with 3 to 5 people this week and simply call them up. Simply talk with them. Try to do a phone call. Try to do a Zoom. Something like that. Maybe meet with them in their backyard if they're comfortable with that. Or you could email. That's another way to do it. Face-to-face or through the phone is much more, it invokes more emotion. It's an opportunity to really say it. But either way, connect with, however you're going to do it, because you know the people you're connecting with. Maybe it's a simple text. Maybe as soon as we're done, you can text someone right now and just say, hey, give them some encouraging words. That simple. Text them and say, hey, I just want to tell you this about you. I so thank you for this. You can do that. 3 to 5 people. Will you do that this week? If you institute these steps, some of these steps, you will find that you will draw closer to Jesus, and all of these steps are to anchor us to Him each and every day, because He is the one. He is the only one that can truly restore, refresh, and refuel you and give you strength for this crisis and the storms in life that we will inevitably come before. So I pray that this is what will happen, and you will let Him reign in your life. So let's pray together. Father God, thank You for the opportunity to come together, and I pray that You would just instill in us and help each one of us to have the courage to be a little bit bold for some, a little bit bold to simply make a phone call, reach out to someone, 3 to 5 people this week, and just give them words of encouragement and to listen. Ask that simple question, how are you doing? What's going on? How are you doing? How can I pray for you? Just ask those 3 questions, and that'll take care of it. Lord God, thank You for Jesus, who gives us the opportunity to come to know You and to have You in our lives, the one who can and will restore, refresh, refuel, and give each one of us strength for this crisis and for everyone, every storm that we ever have in our life. Thank You, God, for Your presence and for the power that You give us through our words, our actions, and our attitudes. Let us use them to encourage people and lift people up. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.